This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
4, 3, 2, 1.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly. On the Tee, Florida.
You're playing golf and you're going to like it.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a fresca?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf. From the PGA and LPGA to the NCAA and LIV.
We're waiting.
And now.
Your Honor.
Let's tee off with two pros and a hack. PGA professionals John Rager and Bill Buttner, and your host Mike Rickard, along with the entertainment squad, a colorful cast of characters.
You want to make $14 the hard way?
Now, everyone back up. Here's Mike Rickard.
Good evening and welcome to On the Tee, Florida. Two pros and a hack in the entertainment gallery, as Kerry McNally just so eloquently described in our new opening. I want to thank him for that superb effort. Now I understand why he's an Emmy Award winner. He'll be on a little bit later on. Well, in a few minutes, actually. He's going to provide a little holiday humor for us. Of course, we are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, our 19th hole clubhouse studios upstairs across from Tropicana Field down here at 13th and Central. Come on down. It's a very festive environment. Christmas parties every room as you walk through the place. And, of course, I've got my Mr. Christmas attire on, as I do every show. And, of course, John Rager's up there in St. Augustine Beach. Great to have him back in the house. Be talking to him a little bit. And then Bill Buttner, he's on the IR still after the new hip, the 15-year-old PGA Pro. He's taking a little leave of absence. We'll get him on the air just to wish people Merry Christmas next week, which will be our official Christmas party. You got to have a lot of parties. But in the house with me again, my bodyguard, right-hand man, Jeff Ward, from our new production starting in January. We had a little hiccup there in our giddy-up, and of course it is Get Your Fit Together.
Yep.
How are you, brother?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm superb. Having a lot of fun this time of year. You know, people think I look like an absolute buffoon, or they like it. And, you know, describe my haberdashery selection this evening.
I mean, he's got a fantastic, like, Masters Green jacket on.
That's it. It's Masters Green.
Yes, it's Masters Green, and it matches the tie, but the Masters jackets do not have flashing lights on the front of them.
Well, if you're having a bad day, they should when you're out there. And
I've had a Masters jacket on. You're probably having a pretty good day.
Yeah, I would say so. In life, in general, you get 1 year to walk around with that baby. Anyway, he's going to be alongside. He'll give us some holiday tips about the end of the first hour on how to keep working out and still eat all this junk that's thrown in front of you. So I'm throwing this topic at you. It gives you some time to figure that out.
We did a Facebook live. Not a podcast, but kind of a preview for the podcast last night. And that was the primary discussion, was surviving the holidays without putting on the average 6 to 8 pounds.
Is that the average?
Yeah.
Well,
Thanksgiving and New Year's is 6 or 8 pounds per person.
I've been taking your expert advice, and I'm down about 10 pounds.
Love it.
However, I'm probably going to be up 3 or 4 pounds at least in the next 7 to 10 days.
That's be expected.
Then I'm returning to Iowa, where the land of no one's healthy.
Right.
And the food is fabulous. And who knows what the scale's going to look like in 2024.
Yeah, red meat and potatoes followed by red meat and potatoes.
Exactly. Yep.
And
the staples. the bland shoulder. Of course, each and every Thursday now, we're down here at Ferg's. And, of course, we try to cover everything. PGA champions, collegiate, anything in the world of golf in the Sunshine State, as I like to call it. It's the Mecca of golf. We're brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka. We'll be pouring some of that tonight. I know we have some guests coming before our pre-Christmas party. That'll be a lot of fun. We'll pour some Ice Pick Vodka. And unfortunately, Patty Suzette, our cocktail queen, she's under the weather. And she had a Christmas cocktail. She said she'd rally next Thursday. We'll have some great recipes down here with our Ice Pick Vodka. We're also brought to you by Michelob Ultra. I want to thank Chris Lewis and the gang. We've got some exciting things coming in 2024 with Michelob Ultra and all the majors as well. Mark Egley's going to join us. He does that about once a month from Iowa. He's a PGA of America teaching pro. Very interesting cat. And we'll have him on in the last hour. This is our holiday surprise. It's a conversation. Google MJ, Google this cat. we're going to have a conversation with Burton Gilliam of Blazing Saddles fame. He's in 180 sitcoms, 52 movies. He was a boxer. I talked to the guy. He's 85 years old. I talked to him for a half an hour this week, and his golf teaching pro, of course, is Michael Furs, and that, you know, this Texas connection. But what an interesting man. Fireman, box, has 22 Golden Gloves titles.
Wow.
He's just a character, and I talked to him yesterday, like I said, for about a half an hour. So that is our holiday in the house, Tyler. Of course, that is our holiday surprise for you guys. So Google search Burton Gilliam, Blazing Saddles, of course, an epic. Would not be politically correct in the 21st century. Let's bring someone who's always politically correct, and that is John Rager. What's going on, brother?
Hey, it's great to be back on the air this week. And if you go to our social media or our websites, you'll see a few things there. And one of the things we posted, we just couldn't figure out when we were going to have a holiday party. So we decided, well, let's try for this week, next week, and the week after. So if you come down to the On the Tee Florida studios located in the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, for the next three Thursdays from 5 to 7, we'll celebrate holiday cheer and the new year with ice pick vodka drink specials. If anybody's there tonight, do a fun golf contest, and I hope you brought some swag, Mike, because we're going to have free prize drawings. So remind all of our listeners out there, if you want to know about these things and some of the other things coming up, go to our website, onthetfloridagolf.com. You can actually sign up for a free e-membership, which gets you into free prize drawings, and also you can actually book time on the simulator. There's a link for that, and have some fun and stay abreast of everything going on with On the Tee Florida.
I, in fact, do have some swag down here. I've got a three-quarter zip On the Tee Florida that will be given away, and I've got some gift certificates from our good friends over at Sea Dogs Brewery. Of course, they're a sponsor along with Ice Pick and Shipyard. Of course, that trio and Fred Forsley, very supportive of our productions. And we have one there on Monday night. It's called Big Monday. That thing's really starting to take off and gather a following down there on the Intercoastal Blind Pass Road, just about a block from the Gulf of Mexico. Speaking of...
Hey, remind our listeners out there, just so you know, that, you know, our opening has always been, you know, Mike and I and the Big O, but the Big O's been doing the Big Mondays. But I just saw on our social media for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection for the Mondays at Sea Dogs, he's moving to Detroit. He's moving away.
Well, that's his hometown, and, you know, what are you trying to get me sad at the opening of the show? The Big O, Oscar Garner III, I'll never forget how I met the young man. He lived next door at that time, down here at Ferg's. I'd done the Sports Connection show, and he was walking by video with his phone, and he was shooting video. I go, what are you doing, pal? And he said, well, I just moved down here, and I'm just, if you don't mind, he goes, I'm just trying to give people a feel for the environment where I live, and started chatting. I didn't realize, you know, this, about 6 foot, oh, he is 6'4", and how intelligent he was. He's a financial advisor at Raymond James. He went to Michigan State School of Business. I'm an absolute dunce compared to the kid. But it turned out, and I'm not trying to profile, but he's African-American. He's 6'4". I figured he's going to be able to talk all kinds of sports with me, and next thing you know, he's talking golf. And you haven't met Oscar. He should show up tonight. He's talking golf, and he was a caddy. That's how he got his scholarship to Michigan State School of Business. What's the course up there in Michigan, John? Is it that burnt down?
Oh, my goodness. It slips the top of my mind, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Is it Woodland? Is it Woodland?
No, it's not that. I'm going to go ahead and figure out what that is because it's
very,
one of the famous
very
courses.
Prestigious. Very
that has hosted a PGA championship and everything. I should know that off the top of my head because it's actually in Waterford, Michigan, which I've been there several times. One of my kids used to live there in Waterford.
And, well, the reality is it's so esteemed in tradition that you still have to have caddies. And he actually caddied there, and he knew more about golf. And he was my first sidekick. On the tee before we fought the great John Rager. And so now he's moving on, and I'm going to miss him a lot. Hey, a gentleman that we are missing, but he decided to call in and provide a little holiday humor. Kerry McNally's on the air. And of course, he's got a comedy gig down in Sarasota for the next 3 days. And I'm sure you get butterflies before you get ready, just like before a sporting event or the number one tee box?
Oh, no, Mike. I usually just spend every single second preparing and rehearsing for my show. I'm actually in Fort Myers. We're at the Snappers Comedy Club. It's on College Parkway in Fort Myers. But not tonight, Mike, because I'm on the show with you. So any rehearsal time that would calm my nerves, nope, it's gone. But I'm just going to get up there and I'm going to wing it. And if it doesn't go well, I'll come knock it on your door tomorrow, my friend.
Hey, I saw you down at the Palladium. You do a superb job. You were kind of a host as well as providing some comedy, and I think you'll be just fine. But I know one thing that you're superb at, and that is video creation and intros. And again, I want to thank you very much for upgrading on the T Florida as we in 2024 are going some exciting places, and you're a big part of it.
And I'm honored to be a part of the team with John and Bill and everybody that, you know, Tom Gribben and Patty and
don't
everybody.
Don't forget Jeff. You don't want to get on his wrong side. Don't forget Jeff Ward.
Oh, yeah, Ward. No, the big man. I love
I'm
to fighting
that
at guy.
The end of the table so, down
here. Yeah. So one of the things that I wanted to do for the Christmas show was one of my favorite bits of comedy is from a guy that everybody loved. The late, great Robin Williams. I did have a chance to meet Robin Williams. She did a show when I was working for Minneapolis at the University of Minnesota, and it just turned out that I got to meet him and got a hug from him, and it was a really special evening. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard his interpretation of how the Scots invented the game of golf, and I'm sure I'm going to butcher this thing, but I'd like to give you sort of my homage to Robin Williams' take on how the game of golf was invented. Are you up for that, Mike?
Rock and roll, brother. I've been waiting for this all week.
All right. So my theory is that one of the guys in Scotland had a couple of pints, and he was there with his mates, and he said, "Hey, fellas, here's my idea for a new sport. I knock a ball into a golfer hole." "Oh, you mean like billiards, pool?" "Now, that's with a straight stick. This is with a crooked stick at the bottom. I whack a ball into a gopher hole." "Oh, you mean like croquet?" No, that's a wimpy sport. I put the hole hundreds of yards away." "Oh, you mean kind of like a natural bowling alley?" "No way. I put all kinds of things in the way, like trees and bushes and a winding river, so you keep whacking the ball and you keep whacking and whacking until you feel like you're going to have a stroke." "Wait, that's what we'll call it, because every time you try to hit the ball, you feel like you're going to die." "And right near the end, I'll put a nice black bit with a tiny flag to give you hope. But then I'll surround it with a pool and a giant sandbox to grab your ball." "Oh, you do this one time? It sounds exhausting." "No! You do it 18 damn times!"
Oh, my God. I forgot how damn funny that piece by Robin Williams was. And I love the way that you made it PG so we don't lose our FCC license. Have you heard it? Have you heard Robin Williams do it?
I heard the original years ago. Yeah,
original years. F-bomb city. And you cleaned it up superbly, Kerry McNally. And yeah, I appreciate that, brother, to start our little holiday show. A little hello to Bobby Van Sweden. He's in the house. We're going to visit with him a little bit later on some of the changes in the golf balls and the equipment and his perspective on that. So, Kerry, I appreciate you providing us with some humor, brother. Are we going to be able to get you in person next week when Rager and Patty and Gribben are here?
Yep, I'll be up there. I look forward to it. And like I said, I'm honored to be a part of the team. And everybody, happy holidays, and keep listening to On the Tee Florida.
Hey, before Kerry gets away here, I just want to let our listeners know there, especially if you go to Instagram, go at Kerry McNally Live, Kerry McNally Live, and you'll see his Instagram page. And it has actually some of his comedy routines on there. And for our listeners out there, people know that not only is he a comedian, he's an Emmy Award-winning broadcaster, voiceover artist, writer, and producer. So if you go to stinkpetefilms.com, it's his website. But please visit his Instagram because he's got a lot of funny stuff. And, yeah, that was probably one of the best renditions of the Robin Williams golf skit that I've heard in a long time. So good job, Kerry. We appreciate you.
Thank you, John. It's a high praise coming from you. I appreciate it. All right, gentlemen, I got to get ready for my show.
One more time. Where's the show at, and what are the hours and the dates?
Yeah, it's snapperscomedyclub.com. The show tonight is at 7:30. There's another show tomorrow night, and there's two shows on Saturday. So 14, 15, and 16, and then I'll be back up your way on Sunday. Love you guys. Happy holidays, everybody.
Break a leg, brother.
See you, Kerry.
All right. Yeah, he is one talented cat.
Yeah.
Wait till you see it. And he did a superb job, John Rager, on a new video. Unfortunately, you weren't down here to be part of the creation of it. Did you see? Hey, did you take a close look at that wonderful swing I have?
Yeah, in fact, that was the best part of our video. You know, every good radio show's got to have a nice promotional video out there, and we appreciate Kerry putting something together this week. And one of the funniest things about the end of the video, talking about the two pros and a hack, and you finished up the whole thing with your swing into the simulator, and again, it looked like two bulldogs fighting in a burlap sack in spite of a telephone booth. So,
hey,
good job on that one.
Have a little respect for an old man. I pulled a hammy. That's what it was. Well, brother, you weren't here last week. I'm glad to hear that your father-in-law is rallying. But did you get a chance to watch any of the Grant Thornton? I thought it was an excellent dive back into the format they had back in the day with the JCPenney, you know, with the LPGA and PGA, and they looked like they were having a blast. But you know, there was some intense golf, and then we also had the World Champions Cup down in Bradenton too. So it was a busy weekend last night. And what do they call that? The silly season?
Well, yeah, it used to be called the silly season because the silly season started out when the PGA Tour ended years ago. They created that skins game that was played on the Friday after Thanksgiving, and it created a silly season where they started putting exhibition events out there for the PGA Tour. But now it's kind of evolved into a fall season for the PGA Tour. But yet, you know what? The Grant Thornton Invitational, I watched the whole thing last week. And it was really fun because it was great to see the men and women get together. You know, the champions were Jason Day and Lydia Ko, and they're the 2023 Grant Thornton Invitational champions. They played down in Naples, and I can tell you that the Tiburon Golf Club and the Ritz-Carlton Naples were a great stage for that. Now, this tournament actually stemmed from the original tournament that was actually founded by Greg Norman years ago, of course, with the LIV Golf and his association with the PGA Tour. They went ahead and Grant Thornton stepped up and created a unique mixed team tournament event. And I think that this event's going to be there to stay. You know, we saw Lexi Thompson play with Ricky Fowler, which is a very popular pairing. And I think the men and women truly enjoyed playing together. And I think you'll see this on the schedule for years to come. Plus, when we talked about the Champions Tour and that the World Champions Invitational they had, it was kind of a twist where they had a European team, an international team, and a U.S. team. And, of course, the U.S. team led by Jim Furyk as the captain prevailed on that. So I think that it was a rich weekend for golf last week, and I know this week coming up we have the PNC Championship. We'll talk about that a little bit later on the show and what that entails. But we're starting to wind it down. I think I think that's about it for golf, at least in the United States. And I think that your next big event will be when the PGA Tour starts up in Hawaii for the Tournament Champions.
You're listening down the T, Florida, of course, on our flagship 106.1 FM, AM 1340, Tampa, Clearwater, St. Pete, WZHR FM 104.3 FM, and WDCF AM 1350. Up north, Lake City, WGRO AM 1250, WDSR AM 1340 as well. Matt on the controls up there in Clearwater tonight, as always, and appreciate everything he does for us. We got a little bit of time. Why don't we talk a little bit about, obviously, the number one story in golf, unfortunately, has been the defection of John Rahm to LIV, and which, you know, there's a lot of emotion in that decision, and it's interesting. And I know your position typically, John, but it saddens me when I know these guys are being programmed and being bought. I mean, his press conference was a joke relative to the press conferences that he was emotional, had emotional equity into it. had some perspective. You know, this was just in the can and shortened, and you know, it, to me, it was nauseating. So we'll get Bobby's position on it. What Jeff thinks of this LIV move, but you're the pro. Your perspective on what took place.
Well, you know, there's a lot to it. I think if you really want to have a good read on this, and for those who are on X, or formerly known as Twitter, there's a guy named Bob with parentheses golf, and then his last name's Ball, Bob Golf Ball. And if you go to him on the X, he's actually provided quite a bit of commentary and quite a bit of analysis on it. And I think, you know, when you have to pull back some of the emotion of it, you know, we all love the PGA Tour, and, you know, it's been around since 1938. It was part of the PGA of America up until 1968, and guess what? Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer wanted to play for more money, so they broke away from the established PGA of America, which was the ones that not only took care of the club pros, but took care of the tour pros. So, you know, this has happened before in the world of golf, but this is a little unprecedented, but I think if you take a look back, you know, Greg Norman tried this in the 90s with, I think it was Kerry Packer from Australia, the billionaire there, was trying to do some sort of world golf tour, and Greg Norman came to the PGA Tour and got sloughed off on it. And then a few years back, Greg Norman came back to the PGA Tour and says, hey, I've got some investors here. Why don't we create a world tour and the PGA Tour be part of it? Of course, that fell through. And so here's what happened is that Jay Monahan, who made $18.6 million last year, which is two more million dollars than John Rahm made playing golf for his prize money last year, kind of jumped the shark on it, I think. I think what happened was, you know, he got all in for the PGA Tour. And when the LIV Golf came, you know, it became very penal to be a member of LIV Golf. You're suspended or, you know, expelled from the PGA Tour. And, yeah, then he enlisted the 911 families and made it a morality play, which he probably shouldn't have done, but he did anyway. So I thought, okay, well, he's all in. And then when he shocked the world, when back in June, when he and Yasser from PIF came together and said, hey, we're going to have an agreement by the end of the year, he totally lost the trust of the tour players. He lost the transparency in the communication of the tour players. You know, there are PGA Tour players on the policy board. Roy just resigned from it. I think he kind of gave up on it. The PGA Tour, instead of trying to figure out a responsible fiscal policy, came up with $300 million to give away to a player image and likeness program out there, created some super purses, guaranteed every rookie $500,000. Well, the PGA Tour has run out of money. In fact, they just lost the Wells Fargo event on 2024. Will be the last one. Next year they won't have a Wells Fargo tournament up in Charlotte. That was one of the big-time tournaments up there at the Quail Hollow Club. And the sponsor said, hey, listen, we're not going to put any more money in. We can't put any more money in. We're just not going to sponsor this tournament anymore. So it is a money grab. And I think John Rahm just looked at it for 2 years ago. Everybody's talking about he's a hypocrite, that, you know, he didn't commit to the, you know, he commits to the PGA Tour, said, you know, $400 million, $500 million would make a difference in his life and this, that, and the other. But things changed drastically in June. But not only did they not communicate well in June to the PGA Tour players, you know, and when they started communicating to the players, talking about penalties, LIV golfers, and this and that and the other, I think that he lost the trust and transparency of the PGA Tour players. So that's what's going on right now. And so when John Rahm came out at the press conference, these are professional golfers. Yes, yeah, I don't think he's going to be a golf commentator. I don't think that he's tuned to handle some of the press, especially some of the press today that has an agenda that tries to promote a narrative versus ask questions and try to figure out what's going on. So, you know what? I don't blame him. I don't blame him. You know, in fact, he's made $51 million on the PGA Tour in prize money, and I don't know what the exact amount was reported because it's all over the board. But let's say it's $500 or $600 million. Well, you know, he's 10 times his career earnings, and he still gets to play in the majors for the next 5 years because he won the Masters this past year. He's also a former U.S. Open champ. So I think what you'll see is Rory even came out and said, hey, we need to change the rules of the Ryder Cup here because John's not going to be on our team. Yeah, and Rory, of all people, came back
yeah.
and said, wait a second.
Now when it benefits Rory, he, wait, we can't lose our number one gun. And so you're seeing a lot of flip-flopping.
No, absolutely. In fact, the biggest flip-flopper of all, I was shocked this week. You know, us golf nerds here at on the Tee Florida, we just watch a lot of Golf Channel. In fact, I got it on right now. Well, I got a big screen TV in my little St. Augustine Beach studio here and watching the highlights from last year's PNC Championship. So we get a little too deep into things. So I have to hear from Brandel Chamblee all day. And guess what? He even said that the tour ought to merge with LIV Golf. I was shocked when he said that this week, but he kind of knows that it's probably the best thing for all parties involved. So, yes, people have an emotional side to it, but if you really look at the business side, you look into it, they really need to get together. Or you're going to have a diminished PGA Tour, and you're just going to have some players playing on LIV Golf for a lot of money.
Yeah, well, Bobby here, of course, knows JD, John Daly, and I like JD's perspective on it a couple of days ago. He said, I don't see what the big deal is. He said, I got offered a hell of a lot of money to go over and play in England and Europe and Saudi many, many times. And he said, nobody ever said anything about that. And he said, you know, it was all relative to the time, the amount of money. He said, but we were taking the money in, Ryan, you know, and going over and playing in their events. So,
hey, Mike, just for our listeners out there to keep up with this all, if you follow the John Rager Report, you'll see several times a week we post things that are relevant to or share things that are relevant to the world of golf. And whatever your political affiliation, whatever you think, Tucker Carlson did a great interview with John Daly. I mean, it's funny. You go to X, it's on there. I watched the whole thing. I remember I sent links out to everybody, and then I realized, uh-oh, I sent some links to some folks out there that may not appreciate Tucker Carlson, but at the same time...
I thought about that myself when you sent that out. I thought, did you look at your database and determine what side of the aisle, which is sad in today's world? The reality is, you know, I don't care. The two guys in front of me, you know, pound the hell out of me. I don't care what their views are. I think we're all open to it. I'm not going to dislike people for their views.
That's what makes America so great.
Hey, precisely, Bobby. Exactly.
But, yeah, that interview with Tucker on X was absolutely wonderful, and I suggest everybody go Google that, go to X and watch that, because it was interesting. You know, there was a little political twist to it a little bit. John Daly, you know, calls Donald Trump Daddy Trump and this, that, and the other, but they're great friends. They go way back well before he was president of the United States. But John Daly brought some very interesting insights into his past, you know, his gambling and his drinking and, you know, some of the things he's done in his life, and he's very open and honest about things, and it was wonderful. You know, I mean, he looks like Santa Claus now, and that's what Tucker was saying, that, you know, you're one of the professional golfers out there that just doesn't look like a professional golfer.
Hey, we've got to take a break. We'll come back. We're going to talk to Mark Egli, and then we'll talk a little with Jeff here, and Bobby, I want to get their opinions on the LIV as well. We'll be back here on the Tee Florida, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, our 19th hole clubhouse studios. Come on down. Got some swag to give away. We got parties down here. We've got the simulators up and running. We'll have some contests. Come on down, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th hole clubhouse studios. We'll be right back with Mark Egli.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th hole studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays, Bucks, and Lightning watch parties every game, and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
The Hippie Shack is St. Pete Beach's newest eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint, located at 9655 Blind Pass Road on the Treasure Island Intercoastal. The Hippie Shack is open daily at 11 a.m., providing a 60s and 70s vibe with live music every day of the week. Our comfort food and creative menu will take you back to the 60s and 70s with our themed daily great drink specials. The Hippie Shack is the grooviest and coolest new eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint, the far-out and peace-spreading Hippie Shack, 9655 Blind Pass Road on the water at St. Pete Beach. Don't be a square. We'll see you there.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards program. program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to On the Tee Florida, down here at Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, and of course our good friends at Sea Dogs, Charlie and the gang. Great place for breakfast. I still got to get you over there, Jeffrey. And across from me is Bobby Van Sweden. We're going to be having a little conversation with him regarding the world of rollback. What did we say last week? We called it not rollback.
Just a pause of just technology.
Precisely. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And a gentleman that also can share that. He's my good friend, PG America Teaching Pro up in the frozen tundra of Des Moines, Iowa, Mark Egli. What's going on, brother?
Well, I'm sitting here selling range balls to people in 55-degree weather in Des Moines, Iowa the next 2 days.
Are you really? I'll be there in a couple of weeks.
Hold on to
that weather for a couple of weeks before my my carcass gets up there, because I certainly am not looking forward to sub-zero if that's the case. But good for you. Yes. Your range is out and you make a little money in December. That's a plus in the golf world in Iowa.
It is a plus.
Well, John Rager's on the other line too as well. And I still have to say, the segment that you three did, you, Bill Buettner, and John Rager, a little trip back in time for you guys, a little class reunion, if you will, talking about the league down here and you guys playing, and I guess it would be the Corn Ferry right now, or a watered down Corn Ferry. But those were epic stories. We could do an entire 2-hour show highlighting the characters that came out of there, as well as the guys that made it onto the PGA Tour.
Very, very, very true. And, my dad was not one on reminiscing, but it's nice to go back and remember all the great people that were in your life. And then I get brought back to reality by Carly Simon, who sang about these being the good old days. So we got the best of both worlds sometimes.
Well, and the thing that I liked the best is that particular event. You had taken it to our own Bill Buettner. We shouldn't throw him under the bus right now. He's recovering with a hip replacement. But John, you knew the majority of the people in that field as well.
Well, yeah, it was the Space Coast Golf Tour. For our listeners out there, especially if you listened last time, we were talking about it's a mini tour. All right, so it evolved from actually a mini tour that was before called the National Tournament Golfers Association, which was held in the Tampa Bay area before J.C. Goosey he's a PGA Tour player, decided to create this mini tour, and he called it the Space Coast Golf Tour. And it really grew into something pretty special for a number of years, because unless you had a PGA Tour card, that was probably the best way to do it, because you didn't have to travel as much. You could live in Florida, you could play the courses, you're familiar with the courses, and you're just playing for your own money. You put your money up every week, and you play. And and if you win enough money to stay out there and make a little bit of extra money, you can stay out there and keep your dream alive. A lot of people, most of them were donators out there, and but at the same time, it was a unique thing. Years later, it started getting diminished, because you did have at that particular point, I believe that, and I think it was probably somewhere around 1990 or so that the Hogan Tour started. And that became an elevated place to play, and then you started having competition with the Space Coast Tour. You had the Florida Tour, and you had other mini tour pros that everybody's trying to cash in. And JC was really the only bona fide one, I think, that not only did he make money, he always kidded about he was the leading money winner every week on his own tour that he owned. But he also realized that he helped some of the young players out there. And, and if a check bounced, I remember this, we had the good fortune of owning and operating the Bloomingdale Golfers Club, which we had about 100 pros as our members. And it was quite an all-star cast of young pros, and they were all young pros and nobody heard of at the time, and then went on to become famous golfers like Marco Dawson, Lee Jansen, Fred Funk, Steve Stricker. On the women's side, we had Colleen Walker, and we had, you know, Carolyn Hill. We had a bunch of, you know, just young pros, and we charged, you know, the better status you had on the PGA Tour, the less you had to pay in dues. But for a couple hundred bucks, you could play as much golf as you wanted there. So a lot of these people hung out there. And JC, I remember when anytime we hosted a Space Coast Golf Tour there, if a player bounced a check, you know, wrote a bad check to us, you know, come into the clubhouse, buy a dozen balls or what have you, you know, Ducey would pull the cash right out of his pocket, make that check good. So, you know, he had incredible integrity when it came to that. But yes, you know, those are gone by the wayside now. There's really not many mini tours out there. So, in fact, somebody tried to bring the Space Coast Golf Tour back a couple of years ago in Orlando, and they just weren't able to pull it off. There's just not enough pros that have the money to be able to do that, where they're much smarter now. These kids come out of college, they've got contracts with IMG, and they can go play in Latin America, they can play in Canada. In fact, and this is something I've kind of lost track with. I used to go play the Dakota Tours years ago, Mark, and I don't know if that's still
God's
going
country.
Or not.
But
it's still going on strong. You know, Iowa was probably one of the strongest leaders in that area. The Waterloo Open, the Cedar Rapids Open, and the Iowa Open still go on to this day. And you've got a few events in the Dakotas and a Nebraska Open. So the Midwest has remained strong in those areas. And the winners of the Waterloo Open, you're going to see British Open champions. You're going to see U.S. Open champions. And, you know, Mike, I don't want to ever have him taken lightly, because back here in Iowa, they took care of the young golf pros and those who aspired to play the game. And they're still doing it to this day.
Well, Zach Johnson's a prime example of that, Mark Egley, and you had a part in that development as well. And I remember, I mean, when we had On the Tee up there in Des Moines, those were marquee events on our calendar to have conversation with head pros and some of the aspiring young guys, see how they played in those fields. But let's go back to the old format. Don't you think, fellas, that this would be a superb Netflix documentary? All the characters, you know, writing bad checks, guns in their cars, cash. You had quite a variety of characters back in that era participating down here in Florida, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, in fact, I know that when I was a kid, before the Space Coast Tour, it was the MTGA, they called it, and Calvin Peet played on it. And this poor Calvin became a PGA Tour player, and you know, he actually had a pair of cowboy boots with spikes in it. He had two front gold teeth. You know, that was a big deal. And what he did, he had a big Cadillac and he had a bodyguard, because he kept all his cash in the back of the Cadillac. You know, and how he made money coming up before he became a golfer was that he would sell products to migrant workers down in South Florida, and he actually ended up owning an apartment complex or two down there. But every day he would show up to the golf course, go out and play and practice and everything, and this guy would stand out next to his car all day long, watching that car, guarding that car. And, that was one of golf's great characters. He's deceased now, but, you know, he was probably one of the straightest golfers of all time as far as off the tee. I think, and I don't know what the statistic is, I have to go Google this, but it was like, now he played an ungodly amount of rounds of golf before hitting one out of bounds. And we're talking thousands of rounds of golf before he actually hit one out of bounds on the PGA Tour. But those are great characters out there. I remember when you had those cargo golf carts that had the three-wheel, you know, golf carts with a big bar to steer it versus the steering wheel. Yeah, I remember one of the NTGA Tour players getting so pissed off, he drove it into the pole at the country club. And, you know, it was just because I don't know if he's just that frustrated with the game. And he actually went on, I won't mention his name, but he actually went on to become one of the great club pros in the New England area. But that was probably his last round as a competitive golfer on the NTGA, that's for sure.
Mark Egley, who was your bodyguard all those years?
I was, you know, it's nice being invisible where you don't need those kind of things. And, you know, Orlando, was a, you know, all of Florida was a much different place because where John said we played a little bit, we could drive from Orlando to Lakeland or to Tampa. It'd barely take us an hour because the traffic was so easy. Then if we had to go over to the Space Coast, you know, over to Daytona area or someplace like that, you know, it was a simple hour trip. You know, you don't have the traffic and congestion that you do now. So, but boy, we played a lot of events in Orlando, and we didn't have a big problem with crime down there in those days. So,
how much was the side money in those games?
Not as big as you would think.
Practice rounds, you know, $5, $10, $20 Nassau was a big thing. You know, there were some legendary games with the old guys, the Titanic Thompsons and those, but those were before my day. But they'd play for a little bit of cash.
I remember my dad was playing on the Northeastern Tour up there in New York and New Hampshire and Massachusetts and stuff. And he said sometimes the money that you're playing for on Sunday was you know, thousands of dollars if you were, you know, in the hunt for to win it. But a lot of guys that were further down on the money list, they would just come on in and just play the Sunday round, and there'd be a couple hundred bucks on the first tee, you know, where they'd bet it up.
That's a lot of damn money back then.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
I mean, in some cases, that's a week's earnings.
Oh yeah, it was their expenses for the week. They'd try and cover their expenses for the week on the cash bet on the first tee with whoever they're playing with.
So when you guys played in those tours, especially you, Mark, coming down from Michigan State, Michigan, you had your own car. Basically, who underwrote you? I mean, you're a young man. You don't have a lot of capital. You don't have a lot of cash, and. And you're down here trying to make a name for yourself, and you had some success, and you've had a wonderful career. But how'd you get through that?
Well, not many people are this fortunate. I can remember staying. I moved down, and as you know, Mike, that Arnold Palmer treated me like one of his own. And when I moved to Orlando, I remember him setting me up in an apartment complex in Altamont Springs called Spanish Trace Apartment. And he had another and it was right off of I-4, and he had a friend that had a golf course and up in that area there, and I didn't have to pay a penny to play golf back then. I put the clubs on my shoulders. I got out there before the tourists got there. I came home and swam. I was a big swimmer. And I did strength and conditioning back at Spanish Trace, took a nap, and I'd go back when the tourists left, and I'd get almost another 18 in at 5 o'clock. So having Dave Hill and Mike Hill as my hometown mentors, and having Dave and Arnold being such good friends, I felt like I was living a miracle. So life was good for me.
John Rager,
you know what's happened?
Parents' garage, weren't you?
Well, you know what's happened with golf from those days to now. Again, is you had a big transition. We guys mentioned the name Titanic Thompson. I remember the first person I ever caddied for as a golf professional was a guy named Leon Crump. Leon was playing in a pro am, and he was probably one of the great golf hustlers of all time. You know, so you know when he got out of high school, out of college, out of the military, wherever his background was, you know, you didn't have many tours in those days. So these people actually traveled the country, and they would hustle people. And I remember the first time I ever caddied for anybody, much less Leon Crump. And he says, you can check all the pockets except that one bottom pocket. Don't touch that bottom pocket. I go, yes, sir. And then I was stupid enough. I go, what's in that bottom pocket? He goes, my 45. So don't touch. I said, yes, sir. No problem. And, And what would happen? And so what would happen with a guy like him? You know, they just kind of transitioned out because that just kind of died out. You know, when college golf became big and you could actually go play a Space Coast golf tour and you could actually go on. And now, of course, with the Corn Ferry Tour and even the PGA Tour now has programs for college golfers that they can come right out on the PGA Tour if they're top, you know, NCAA golfer of the year. And so, you know, you have a different way to transition now. You have different tours to play all over the world. but in those days you had the Hustlers, so the mini tours were kind of a transition. You know, and I was just, in fact, I went and Googled the Dakota's tours. It's still operating out there, and I remember not only when you travel to play on those tours, you had to stay with people. And sometimes it was hit or miss. I mean, sometimes you get a family there, and there's a refrigerator, go grab a beer, and there's other times that they were teetotalers, and it was a pretty quiet place, not even a TV in there. So those are romantic times of golf. Now it's more corporate. Now it's more about big money, but yeah. So it's always fun to look back in the salad days, and we didn't have a whole lot of money. And if we played well, we'd ate at Outback Steakhouse or something like that. Outback went around in those days, but if not, we
ended up. It was Bonanza, brother. You ate at the Bonanza.
Oh yeah, all you can eat.
Yeah. Well, Mark Eggly.
Well, I'm going to throw this one out at you now that we're on the subject, and some of your listeners will think that, you know, I'm saying something profane or whatever, but if those other John and other folks there today, if I said, you know, you played East Texas Whipout, would you guys know what that is?
East Texas Whipout?
East Texas Whipout.
I think you're out in Western Texas and you got to take a leak, so you whip it out. That's what I would think.
Yeah, so that's what it would be, but there would be days in those big money games that if you got to the end of the hole, you literally, because there'd be thieves and robbers, and that's why you heard about him carrying his 45. Well, let's say I lost $3,000 on this hole. Well, you would East Texas whip out and pay the $3,000 on the second or third or fourth or fifth green, wherever you were at, so that if the thieves ever came onto the golf course, you didn't want to get there where you've been robbed for $10,000 and you still owed Harold over here $6,000. So at the end of every hole, you play East Texas Whip Out and you paid off after every hole.
Holy hell. So you had guys actually, I mean, this happened up in Clearwater at the country club some time ago, since I've been here, 7 years. These little punks were, people would leave their Rolex and their cell phone in the cart. They'd go out up to the green and they'd rob them and then take off. And then they had to have a little more of a police presence. But this was actually happening on the golf course. They were coming out and robbing people.
We're going back 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. You know,
you don't have to go back that far.
Wasn't quite as
civilized. Used to happen at Safety Country Club, the old Lakewood Country Club.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Same thing like the Clearwater Country Club.
Eventually, they had to have a roving security guard in a car driving around the golf course.
With a 45?
Yeah. People were getting robbed all the time.
In the early mid-90s, I was playing in the municipal golf courses in Southern California in the Los Angeles area, and they literally had they put 10, 12 foot tall fences up behind the tee boxes, and a lot of the neighborhoods are on there because they were literally having problem people getting robbed at gunpoint on the tee box.
Well, Mark, we could certainly, like I said, we could set up 2 hours of conversation on back in the day, and it's intriguing. As you said, it's kind of like a class reunion. We're going to let you go now. I just wanted to get you on and wish you Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. I'll see you the week after Christmas up in God's country. Keep that 55-degree temperatures on hold for me, will you, brother?
At least for 24 hours.
All right.
Have a great Christmas, guys, if I don't talk to you, and thanks for a great 2023.
Yeah, 24 is going to be even better, and we're going to get you more involved. He's Mark Eggly, and I tell you what, John Rigger, you guys could tell these stories all day long. And as Bobby said, you know, I was a cart jockey in 2020 over there at the St. Pete Country Club, and we had golf carts stolen. I'd get there at 6 o'clock, open the cart barn. You know, that's the esteemed job I had. And get there, and I'd have to call the head pro, wake him up, and go, we're about eight light what? I go, carts. I'm not kidding you. So that happened in 2020, stealing of carts.
It's a pretty organized thing.
There's nothing worse than going into the cart building in the evening. It's all dark, and everybody's in, and you're missing one. And you're like, oh, boy. You know, you have to start going around the golf course looking to ponds. Did somebody steal one? I got a lot of great missing golf cart stories. I can tell you all about it.
What a pain in the ass, though, because I'll tell you what happened after that period, and it was during COVID. Then we had to pull the keys every friggin' night. And then you have to keep the keys straight. Well, the keys are all the same, but you'd have to, for the most part. It was, and you had to spray the carts down, like, after every golfer. That was a tough time to be a cart jockey at the St. Pete Country Club. I remind Bill Butner of that all the time. That's why I got back and did start doing the show, so I could throw it back at Butner and the boys. And those are great memories. But, yeah, Clearwater Country Club, St. Pete Country Club, same issues, Bobby.
I can remember one time being out there with Terry Decker and hearing gunshots at about 6 o'clock at night in the summer.
I heard them in the morning driving there.
Yeah.
I would drive there about 5:15, have my top down in my car, and be like, what the hell is that? And, you know, Iowa, idiots out wandering around. I was driving through 28th Street, you know, right in the little rougher part of town.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing white that's glistening at that point, because nobody wants to be seen, is me driving down looking where I'm going. Yeah. I heard gun more than once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the old pro shop got a bullet shot through the glass window there once.
Well, Bill Butner, if you're listening, Bill Butner, you need to retire. You don't get that danger pay.
That level 3 vest on while you're out there at the...
But, you know, I can tell you that, you know, it's obviously a big challenge sometime with golf courses and things like that. Earlier in my career, I've worked at Babe Saharia's golf course, and every hole is lined by streets. Okay, there's you know, every hole surrounded by streets. And so when I first worked there as an assistant golf professional, every night about 2 a.m. I'd get a call, you know, somebody vandalized the green, they did this, they did that, you know. So I got with the Tampa Police Department, and I offered any policeman free golf. All you have to do is keep an eye on the place at night. So the next night, I get a call at 2 a.m., go down there. If somebody was driving across the green, I get there. There's like 7 police cars. This guy's on the hood with a bleeding nose, and there's the police helicopters in the middle of the fairway.
That's what police officers will do for you.
F-R-E.
All that stopped. All it stopped. It was perfect. It was just one of the greatest things I've ever done in my golf career. Is just let the police play free. Just keep an eye on this place, will you?
The guy thinks it's a misdemeanor. He's just going to get a little misdemeanor ticket. Hell, the SWAT SWAT team shows up and he's shackled right away.
So if there's any young aspiring pros out there, always let the police and firemen play for free. They'll take care of you more than you think.
That's a smart move. Hey, when we come back in hour number 2, we got a couple minutes. We're going to talk to Bobby Van Sweden about, as we said, putting the equipment on pause, rollback. His position as a recognized club fitter and award-winning club fitter. We'll be talking to Bobby. Might have him throw in a little holiday concert little humor since it's the Christmas show. And then we're going to talk to Burton Gilliam. And Burton Gilliam, Blazing Saddles, over 150 sitcoms and 52 movies. Interesting man with our own Michael Furs. And then the last 20 minutes are all ours to fill. I'm certain that we can find topics. We have it.
We don't forget, we're going to do, we'll do the Wild Bills Golf Weather Report then.
Well, and we had to squeeze in Get Your Fit Together with Jeff Ward, and that is the... Give us tips to get through the holidays with all the garbage we're going to be throwing into our pie holes.
Save that for last, just before I get dinner here, before we leave.
All right. We'll be back on the T Florida for hour number 2, live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios.